I'm with this thing today.
Oh dear. Eh? Ach no, never mind. If I stop holding the mic here, it's your responsibility to tell me, okay? Okay, just nicely, but not me. Okay, nicely. Because I forget, and then there's people far away, and they can't hear what I'm saying. I looked a bit like Egan when I went to the shops yesterday. They almost threw me out because they thought I was coming to rob the place. But yeah, these have been different times that we're living in. It really has been. It's been really difficult to lead in these times. I'm sure you find that at work as well. If you're leading in any capacity, this hasn't been an easy time. But this morning, what I want to do in line with breaking of bread is to have a look at breaking of bread and maybe in a slightly different way. Often when you look at history you look at through different lenses. So you look at it through people, you look at it through events, you look at it through periods of time, and there are many others, but those three are what came to mind with me. And so for me this morning, what I want to do is I want to look at the most significant meals in the Bible. Those that counted the most, those that affected us the most. And these meals, every time they happened, it actually changed our future and changed what was going to come for us. And so obviously the first one is in the book, is in Genesis, and we have the story of Adam and Eve, and God says to them, you can eat whatever you like, but you can't eat from that tree. And so we all know that the devil comes along and he convinces them that they can actually be like God, and so they can partake of eating that fruit and they'll be fine. And the reason that God doesn't want them to eat that fruit is because he says to them, he doesn't want you to be like him. And that's exactly the same story that you see in Ezekiel 28, and I think it's Isaiah 14, where God speaks about, through his prophets, about the devil, and it says he wanted to be like God. He wanted to take his place. And so we see this. He failed there, and he got clapped down to earth, and so now he's trying to hurt the people that God loves. That's you and me. God loves us this morning, you know that. Doesn't matter how we've fallen, how many chains we got on, how many whatever. Jesus died so that we could have life. He died so we could have a life. So at this stage, if I was God, I think I'm not, fortunately I'm not God. If I was God, I think I would have just wiped creation out. Thought, no, I'm not going to put up with this. I create these guys, I give them everything, they walk in the garden with me, they don't even have to wear clothes. Imagine how much money the men had, and they didn't have to buy clothes or shoes or even underwear or anything. The glory of God clothed you when Adam and Eve were in that place. I think that's amazing. We could have been so rich. We would have, not that being rich is the most important thing, but we would have been rich in God. Can you imagine just sitting down face to face with God and speaking to him and him speaking to you? Not on our knees screaming, crying, Lord, please speak to me. No, right here, walking in the garden with God. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. When I've been in some situations that I wasn't happy to be in, and I'd be crying out to God, I would often think, yo, Adam and Eve, when I get to heaven, if you're there, I'm going to kick your bottom. And people say, how do you know who Adam and Eve are? I say, well, they're the ones without the belly buttons. So they'll be quite easy to find, actually. So we move on to the next stage where God gets a friend for himself called Abraham. It says Abraham was the friend of God. Oh, that's another amazing thing. Imagine being called the friend of God. Can you imagine that? I can't. Such a tender, wonderful place. Yes, I've lived close with God, but I can't say I'm his friend. I'm one of his sons. I can't say I'm his friend. You know, people often they say to me, oh, but you got cliques. You only speak to certain people. I tell them, you know what? You need to know that every one of us, all of us, can only have so many friends. Do you know that? Jesus only had 12 close friends, the disciples. Listen now, don't jump ahead of me. Then he had 72 that he had a different relationship, not as close as the 12. Even in the 12, he had the three that were closer to him. And then within the three, he had John, who was the closest to him. So for me, I can be friends with a certain amount of people. I'm not saying it's 12. It depends on my capacity. Maybe it's lower than Jesus. I wonder why. Where was I going? I can't be friends with everyone, but I can be friendly with everyone. I can speak to people and I can love them in the moment. There's only a few people that I can go bra with and have supper with and do this with. And yes, I can help people when it comes to ministry time. That's a prioritize. We come. We want to help. We want to make sure that you're living inside God's will and all those things. But please don't say, oh, they got a click. No, they're friendly. If you want to break into that crowd, gently ease your way in. Don't just burst in on the scene and try and take it over. I actually don't make friends very quickly. Patty will tell you. I'm friendly, but I don't make friends easily. I don't know if it's because in 25 years of ministry, you get hurt quite a bit. And so you carry that stuff with you. Not that you haven't dealt with it, but it's there. You've got scars that you don't forget. And so you actually got to watch yourself because you become a bit cynical, you become a bit critical. You got to watch those things. So we get Abraham, and Abraham takes the Israelites into Egypt out of a time of famine. And at the right time, God uses a man called Moses. He says, Moses, I want you to go and I want you to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. Because there was a good Pharaoh before this guy, but now there's an ungodly man and he's persecuting the Israelites. So I want you to go and get them and I want you to bring them out. And so how does he get them out? He goes, plague number one, plague number two, plague number 10. And then he says to the Pharaoh through Moses, he said, hey, listen, you don't want to let my people go. I'm going to kill the firstborn of every person that does not put the blood of the lamb over their doorposts. I'm going to kill them. So obviously the Pharaoh, if he was clever, he would have gone and done that, but he didn't. And so God says to the Israelites, he says, find yourself a lamb. Make sure that it's without spot nor blemish. It has to be perfect. You see, this is foreshadowing the fact that Jesus is coming. And this lamb is going to be the Lamb of God, Jesus, without spot nor blemish, so that he can carry our sin, our sickness. And he says, kill that lamb, have a bra, no ribeye steak, I'm afraid, just lamb chops. I like those as well. Put the blood over the doorposts. I thought Patty can't handle this. But I could have really made this dramatic. I could have brought my little Maltese poodle. And I could have hidden a sachet of tomato sauce somewhere over here. And I could have gone, shoo, and I know, that's why I didn't do it. You know what? People never forget that. Neither will she. That's a problem. And then he said to them, as they came out, he said, every year at this time, I want you to celebrate this meal, and I want you to call it the Passover meal. So that was the second meal. The first one, Adam and Eve. The second one with the Israelites, the Passover meal. And then Jesus comes. He comes into a nation that God wants to turn back to him because they're in such a bad place. And this morning, as Cheryl shared the thing about our relationship with God and our relationship with one another, so important. So important. Not just one way, but both ways. And he was going to come and he was going to hang on a cross and he was going to reconcile man to God. So meal number three is when Jesus is sitting with his disciples and he's about to be crucified. And he's having the Passover meal with them. And it's in Luke 22, verses 15 to 20. And I've just written the first one down. He says, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Yo, can you imagine that moment? They're sitting in the upper room. These guys they've only really been walking with Jesus between 3 and 3.5 years. It hasn't been a long time. And now he says he's going to die and he's going to go be with his Father. Of course, Jesus does say, I will send one to take my place, the Holy Spirit. So they have the Lord's Supper. That's number three. Is that right? Yeah. Now, number four, this is the one where we're going to break bread today. So this is the one where I actually want to focus most of my time. In 1 Corinthians 11, 17 to 30 something. Three, I think. Four. So I'm going to read this. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 17. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. What? Hey guys, we're in a meeting. God says to us, your meetings are doing more harm than good. Well, my first thing is I'm out of here. We don't want to be in meetings where they're doing more harm than good. That's not the reason we come together. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. That's one of the things Cheryl said this morning. The relationships between people are very important. We've got to work at them. We've got to work on those relationships, even if people are not your friends. You've got to love them. I don't know if you remember there was that cricket advert for quite a while where it used to say, I don't like them, I love them. So I got into the thing of saying to people, I don't like you, I love you, which means I love you because I have to, but I don't like you because I want to. But anyway, he says to them, I can't believe that there's divisions among you. This is one of the reasons that their meetings are doing more harm than good. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. Isn't that a bit of, I might not have God's approval. Lindy may have God's approval. But you know what? God's not afraid to say that. Because you know what? When you go through difficult times, sometimes you need to evaluate your life and see why you're going through a difficult time and allow God to move in your life. Because God's not going to put his approval on someone that's messing around. You are saved, but you're doing stuff that God is unhappy with. And so you don't have his approval. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For I received from the Lord what I've passed on to you. And he speaks about the fact that Jesus' body was broken and they drank the wine, as it was in Luke 22. And then he goes to the end and he says, hey, listen, everyone needs to have a look inside what's going on. So I have these things that I've written down. 5 areas. I'll quickly go through them. Paul says, as you're about to break bread, as we're going to this morning, look back. Remember the body and the blood of Jesus. We must remember our salvation. Remember the Passover meal that Moses was told to celebrate. You know what? He celebrated that and was called the Passover meal because the angel of death passed over and didn't kill the firstborn in that house. We must prepare ourselves as the bride of Christ without spot nor blemish. As a prophetic people, we need to look to the future and we need to embrace it. I was at a meeting with other lead elders the other day, and a lot of them are doing different things in their meetings. And it came time for me to stand up and share, and I just said, you know what? We've got to make sure that we're looking down the road. We can't do stuff now that's creative and all lacquer, and we're doing all this stuff, and we're not doing what I believe the Word says we should be doing, because when this lockdown stops, we're going to have to change all that stuff back to where we were before. I call it scoping. We need to scope. God has given us how to run church. They devoted themselves to apostolic teaching. Breaking of bread this morning. Fellowship. I think breaking of bread and fellowship normally goes together. And prayer. So we look back. We look forward. Paul says, proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. So that's forever in our life. We speak about the fact that he came, he died, and he rose again. Guys, when you break bread, please. I've been to churches where when you break bread, people, I remember a guy that I knew well, he called it the nip and the sip. It's very religious. I take my little nip. And I take my little sip. You know what? Jesus is not dead anymore. He's not in the grave anymore. Jesus is not on the cross anymore. Jesus is in heaven with his Father, looking over us, rejoicing over us. So please, no nip and no sip. We need to know that Jesus is alive and he loves us. You know what? He wouldn't have died if people wouldn't respond. Although I've always said he would have, but he knew that people would respond. So we need to look forward. We need to look inside. We must examine ourselves when we eat and drink of the cup. In Philippians 2, it says, in the same attitude of Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about that? In the same attitude of Jesus. We must be exactly like Jesus. Not an easy thing to do. But you know what? Under his grace and with the working of the Holy Spirit in your life, you are able to do it. You know what? Positive confessions won't get you anywhere. And grumbling will keep you out. look around. Again, what Shirley said, we need to look around. We need to, is there somebody here that I've got an issue with? And you know what the word says, eh? It doesn't say if you've got an issue with them. It says if you know that they have an issue with you, go to them. Matthew 18. We don't like that one. We need to ask for forgiveness. And you know what? Sometimes asking forgiveness, at first it feels like nothing's happened. But you need to continue to thank the Lord that you've asked for forgiveness, that He is working in your life, and allow Him to work in your life. The fourth one, look out. So you're looking up, you're looking in, you're looking backward, and now I'm saying look out. We don't want to come under God's judgment or discipline. We should learn from God's ways and understand how to live with the help of the Holy Spirit in your life. And as we do that, we'll find ourselves walking more in the Spirit. So as this morning, as we, what are we doing with the stuff, Trish? Can we, yeah, let's do it so long. As we break bread this morning, let's examine our heart. If it's clean before God, let's thank you, Lord. I thank you that you died on the cross for me. I thank you for that, Lord. You know what? Sometimes I have to just say that. Lord, I thank you that you died on the cross. I thank you as I partake in this meal that you died on the cross for me, and I proclaim your life. And so you're all wondering, what's the fifth meal? I'm sure you all know what the fifth meal is. It's the wedding feast of the Lamb. One day when Jesus returns, boy, we're going to have a party. We are going to, it's going to be beyond what we can ever think or imagine. I always say, Lord, I need you to do this more than I can think or imagine. But it's definitely going to be in that realm on that day. My only exhortation is don't go and sit at the head of the table, because you could be asked to move to the bottom. But you won't be kicked off the table. That's the one good thing. Come pray for us. Play for us, not pray for us. I've so enjoyed just speaking to God's people this morning. Yo, I tell you, when you haven't done it for a while and you've done it for 25 years, you're like, oh, Lord, I've got to do this. And just the worship this morning, Lindy, was really good. Really, all of you guys that were up here. And I don't just say that, I just really sense the presence of God during this morning. I hope that you did as well and you carry it out with you into this week. So this, guys, I want to encourage you, if you get words or you get testimonies, please let Patty or myself know, or Donnie or Angelique, or even your comm leader. That's maybe the easiest for you. Let your comm leader know, and they'll pass it on to us. They don't have to be, thus saith the Lord, but just as Bernadette shared this morning, that was wonderful. Testimonies are so upbuilding. They're so good. So Don't hold back. Allow God to use you. People are encouraged when you speak. Danelle's, the part of Danelle's word was about stepping in to the gifting that God has given you. And so often we limit ourselves to those gifts that we see in 1 Corinthians. But you know, there's a whole lot of more gifts than that. There's a gift of, for instance, the gift of giving. Maybe God has made you one of those that's got a generous heart and you're able to give to others. Maybe even give of yourself in terms of love and prayer. Maybe you're somebody that people can come to and they know that you will pray for them. Please, guys, begin to rise up. I was very encouraged this morning as prophetic words came, as Bernadette's testimony came. When Danelle gave us her word, I began to pray, Lord, come on, not to God, come on. Lord, can you, I'll not have his approval. Lord, please, let us have more of this. And so I was really encouraged this morning as people stepped up and came forward. I do want to say to you, I'm not that old. I'm almost 60. I'm not that old. But my hearing isn't what it used to be. So during worship, sometimes people will come to share a word with me and I won't always get the gist of what they're saying. So just be careful if I'm leading. That's why I ask Donnie to lead most of the time. His ears are fine. So just be aware of that. That's why I like the things beforehand if possible. So I can actually look at them and say, yo, that's good. Or maybe they need to just change it over here. Because, you know, sometimes God gives a prophetic word. And the one who has the prophetic word puts the emphasis in the wrong place. But the guy leading, the elder, whoever's leading the meeting, God has put on their life, hey, no, say it this way, not say it that way. Patty will tell you that they're picking on me now.
You can use that one.
How's it, guys? I just got a word for all the parents here. Oh, sorry. Just got a word for all the parents here. So God just reminded me of that story about the seeds and sowing seeds on a path and sowing seeds in fertile soil. And just how being here with your children is the fertile soil. And just a word of encouragement is that all you have to do is provide that fertile soil, and God will bring the growth. So not to worry about where your children are heading towards. Just provide the fertile soil. He will do the rest.
That's good, Vaughn. There's a scripture, and whenever people say things, I start thinking, where's there a scripture? There's a scripture, I think, in 1 Corinthians 3 or 4, where it says, some plant, some water, and God gives the growth. And so if we will plant and others will water, God will give the growth. That's not up to us. Yeah, so let's, have you all got? Lord, we thank you this morning that we're able to come together as your people and to partake in this meal, Lord. So Lord, we thank you that your body was broken, that you suffered for us in our place as our substitute. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Sorry, I can't speak. My mouth's dry. So, Lord, we thank you that this juice reminds us that we live in a new covenant, not the old covenant. That we are saved by grace and not by works. And so I thank you today, Lord, that you are a wonderful God. that you sent your Son, that you did a complete work in our bodies, in our spirits, and in our souls. And I just ask you, Lord, to put your hand upon every single person here in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, folk, for coming. I trust next weekend will be a better weekend. Weather-wise.